are listening to Aim Higher, a Catholic podcast designed to instruct and to encourage the daily practice of our faith. Pax et bonum, peace and good to you all. Welcome to another episode of Aim Higher. I am Father Anthony Lentz, and with me is, as always, Sister Catherine. And we're going to be talking today about Lectare Sunday. Lectare Sunday is the fourth Sunday in Lent. And it is called Lectare because in the introit of the Mass, it says, Lectare Jerusalem. Rejoice, Jerusalem. So the message in Lectare Sunday is one of rejoicing. Yes, even in this season of penance, we are called to rejoice. Now, this was within about the first 6-7 centuries of the church. We'll get there. There we are. I got it back. Don't worry. We got it. With about the first 6-7 centuries of the church's existence, the Lenten season would begin on the Sunday following Quinquagesima Sunday. Okay? Well, what happened there? Well, then you only have 36 days of fasting. Now, as you know, we want to do 40 days of fasting because we want to imitate our Lord, especially in his time in the desert, his preparation for his holy mission. It's 40 days of fasting, then, of course, being tempted by the devil. The reason why we go with 40 days. Now, you may say, wait a minute, Father, what do you mean? It doesn't really calculate, doesn't really compute. But remember, we don't fast on Sundays. And the reason we don't fast or abstain on Sundays is because it is the Lord's Day. It is for us throughout our year a perpetual Easter that can each and every Sunday, which really brings or should bring to our minds the heavenly Jerusalem to which we all must be aspiring to. Now, in about the year 714 in Toulon, France, I think that's the right one. I'm trying to memorize this. you saw that the church started to begin, at least in different localities, before becoming universally accepted as a practice, beginning Lent on the Wednesday. As we know, Ash Wednesday is the official beginning of the Lenten season, thus giving us those 4 extra days to get to 40. Now, it was seen that the Thursday before the fourth Sunday in Lent is the official middle point of the Lenten season. And you saw in the missals and in the form that was taken in Toulon, France, that they had the introit in there, in the feeling of rejoicing. So that was practiced. They did it on the Thursday, but eventually they moved it to the Sunday, which was more fitting. So what we are told in this time is to rejoice and think of your heavenly reward, what you are striving for in this season, in this time of penance, which is going to lead us, our sister and I, into the conversation we're going to have surrounding Lectare Sunday, surrounding the idea of rejoicing during a penitential season, the benefits of it, the need of it, but also talking about maybe other ways that we can deny ourselves during this time that we may not have accomplished so far. We're going to delve a lot into that. That's a little bit of the back history. But one final interesting note is that, liturgically speaking, you see there is a difference in the church itself. The vestments, they're not the violet, but they're rose color. In centuries ago, the organ was not allowed to be played. That has changed. But on that Sunday, organs were allowed to be played. Even flowers were allowed to be put on the altar. Just, it shows the contrast of this Sunday with all the other Sundays in Lent, because that focus is combining your joy with your penance, taking joy in giving something up of yourself for the love of God. And one final thing, historically speaking, to bring up, that it was a practice, I'm not exactly sure when it began, but in Rome, the Pope would bless the golden rose on this Sunday, and he would give it to the various sovereigns of Europe. This was a symbol of, well, the cross they carry, which a rose, which is so beautiful and so splendid to look at, also has thorns. Reminded their office may have its splendor and majesty, but it's still strewn with thorns and responsibilities they must carry and be an example to their followers. There are other names given, like the Sunday of the Loaves, because what is the gospel for this Sunday? It is the multiplication of the loaves and the fishes, of course. So there's so many touching points we can go to help us in our meditation, help us to appreciate this Sunday, and that the church is giving us a short reprieve from our usual
practice.
Thank you. In the church itself, reminding us to rejoice. So let's delve into this, sister. Let's go into what thoughts come into your mind when we talk about Laetare Sunday.
Well, I think first off, I remember even just being, when I was younger, always looking forward to seeing the rose vestments, because it only happens twice a year. And even though I was never really fond of the color pink or rose, if you will, there was still something just exciting about seeing something different. And the one that we have, well, I think we have two rose vestments here. I usually just use this one. It's very beautiful. And I look forward to hopefully putting that out again this year, because there was one year, just the way it lined up with flights and delays, that we did not use it for a whole liturgical year. We weren't able to use it on Gaudete Sunday or Laetare Sunday, because I remember the year that it was actually going to happen, I had to iron the tabernacle veil because it was in storage for so long. It might seem kind of silly, like why would that really be exciting? But I say take what you can get. I mean, whatever draws you in and makes you curious and appreciate something, go for it. And I also especially, probably more so in the season of Lent, appreciate these Sundays. And obviously we're talking about Laetare Sunday, because I think what happens to a lot of us, we get into our Lenten promises, what we plan to do. And I think even leading up to Lent, we kind of dread the plan, if we're being honest. There's just something about like, oh, here it comes. And having that reminder of why we're really doing this and what's to come is obviously very essential. It's welcome. And obviously the church knew what they were doing for all these years, because we're no different than the people hundreds of years ago. We're all fallen creatures, and
human nature is the same. It doesn't change.
So I find it something really wonderful to look forward to. As we were talking earlier, mm-hmm. planning this episode, I also say that this is a really great time if whatever you decided that you were going to do for the Lenten season,
mm-hmm.
and it hasn't quite been working out, this is a time to say it's to kind of have a resolve to get back on track, to see it through. You know, not like, oh, well, Lent's halfway over, better let next year. There is a lot to be said about still pick dust yourself off and trying again. Mm-hmm. And I think, and that happens to all of us. I actually had the intention to kind of journal this Lenten season. I mean, we're recording this a little early. It's still pretty early in the Lenten season. I actually had to check the calendar. I was like, what Sunday in Lent are we already? Because I've lost track. It's going quickly, and yet it seems like it's going slowly. So I'm going to today, I'm going to commit to that. I wanted to focus on some scripture. I wanted to just see what's, you know, how I can really stretch myself in like a meditation. And hopefully next year, because a friend of mine and I are planning like a Lenten journal with some prompts to kind of help along, because I really benefit from some prompts. You know, when if you give me a blank page, say, here, fill this page, it's scary for me. And so
we all need inspiration.
Precisely. And I realize that there are some people that they don't need that. And that's okay. That's great. That's okay too. But I think that there are a lot of people that really could just use the nudge and say, hey, I need help. And it's just, again, whatever it takes. So.
Well, the church, you know, already supplies us with so much prompts and so much. Many subjects of meditation. I mean, we, like I mentioned earlier, of the introit, you know, rejoice, O Jerusalem, and, you know, the various parts of the Mass. If you were to read the Collect, the post communion and the prayers the church sets aside for that particular Sunday, and the intention of all the faithful. The secret is also another one I should have mentioned. That could be a subject of meditation for you, and it brings up another point to it. Of just if you latch on to one thought that has impression upon you, stick with that. If it's a good and wholesome thought, it's Lotari Sunday, but in your meditation, your mind doesn't drift towards your heavenly goal, but you go back to the passion of Christ. It's like, oh, well, I can't meditate on this now. Let me go to think about, you know, rejoicing in heaven. It's like, well, no. Stick with that meditation. Stick with it, because that's still very beneficial for the soul. Mm-hmm. On Sundays, yes, we're encouraged to take a reprieve from these penances, practices, but it doesn't mean that we can't continue them on a Sunday, especially if it's giving up something that if you have a little bit of it, it's going to be kind of hard for you. If you hate that taste in your mouth, you know,
right? If you gave up coffee and you're going to spend Sunday drinking coffee all day,
yeah, and I mean, got like, you know, five.
That would be a disaster.
Five pots of coffee, and then you're just going to be jittery all the rest of the week.
Right.
And dehydrated, get a headache. And
well, I mean, it'd be just as disastrous. Let's say you gave up television and you decided to binge watch on Sunday. You know, you're not going to feel that great on Monday either, whether it's the coffee intake or, you know, mm-hmm. the TV intake. There's you're, you definitely do not walk away from anything in excess well. So
and it's you know, when we have the fasting, we have the abstaining, yes, you don't have to you don't have to refrain from eating meals or eating between meals, but you still can if you choose right. to. It's something that, you know, you're still giving for the greater honor and glory of God. But you know, and you're not required to do it.
Right.
So in a way, this does mean more because you're doing it willingly.
It kind of makes me think about, since you brought up Sundays in Lent, and I can't remember who mentioned it on the pulpit, or if it was radio program. I can't remember, and I can't remember who. I almost feel like it was Father Bernard pointing out that if you're staying up late Saturday to wait until midnight so you can eat something, you're kind of missing the point.
Yeah, that, I remember Father Joseph talking about that.
Yeah, one. I feel like they probably all have
because I think
it's a very common mindset. I can't say that I never did that. I definitely had that at times. And
especially
it's definitely something to really kind of think about twice before
especially I know especially kind of stands out for me. I remember when you're doing a Holy Saturday, and over the changes in the rites of Holy Week back in the 50s, you know, before that, Lent ended at noon on Holy Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
So you did not have to fast anymore, abstain, and there you go. But with the changes, which were, in my opinion, an improvement, because you're going back to something that was really really fitting, because everything is now done around the time that it actually occurred, historically speaking. Mm-hmm. The events of Holy Week, the washing of the feet, our Lord's passion on the cross, and then, you know, waiting for the Paschal celebration on Holy Saturday, and all the beautiful services there. But I'm not save too much because we're going to have special programs,
yes. About
special episodes. I'm trying to stop saying program. I'm starting to say episode. I guess it doesn't really matter, but it's one of my things. But anyway, I remember as a kid, you know, you'd be waiting. I guess you get home late on Holy Saturday because we had services at like 8 o'clock at night. It's preferred to do it at midnight, to have the mass begin at midnight. You know, you'd begin the services around 10 o'clock, but sometimes it's not practical for the people who want to attend. So the pastor has to make a decision on the proper time for the best attendance. So for us, we get home usually it was about only an hour, but you were just kind of waiting and just looking up, waiting to get that frozen pepperoni and sausage pizza. And you're just looking, come on, come on, come on. Just can't get here quick enough. Yeah. But of course that can happen even on any Saturday during Lent. You're looking right. Like, okay, well, my question is, why are you staying up that late?
You know what I mean, and are you really hungry?
Yeah.
And I guess if you're feeling like you're so hungry that Saturday out of all the days of the week, you might want to check to see what it is you're doing during the week. Are you actually eating enough? I mean, what's described in what I was reading in my Catholic faith, you know, it's one main meal and two smaller meals. And, you know, you look at the first two meals should not be together combined bigger than but that doesn't mean you eat next to nothing, right? You do need to maintain your health to sustain you, especially depending on your line of work. And so I think it is a good question to pose yourself if you've ever done that, where you're waiting for Sunday morning, what might be missing during the week, or is it just really I really don't know.
And obviously you have to keep in mind of those people who work, you know, late second shift.
Oh, sure.
And, you know, getting home and they just getting something to eat and it happens to be after midnight. I mean, Of course. But we're talking about the person who purposely stays up in order to indulge in this.
Right.
It's that, yeah, you're following the letter of the law. But what about the spirit of the law?
Right.
And even that applied on Fridays. I remember, yes, myself, you know, going out with friends on a Friday and it'd be late and you're looking out and like, okay, it's 15 minutes. All right. It's about this time. So if I order this now, by the time it gets to us, I can eat everything else and eat the meat at midnight.
Oh, and you're talking outside of Lent.
Yeah. Outside of Lent.
A regular Friday night.
In the Saturday. I mean, some people, I mean, I, you know,
it seems like such a small thing.
And it does.
And again, it's, as you said, that is following the letter of the law. Did you ever really feel good about it? Like, there was probably something nagging your conscience every once in a while.
I don't know if it was nagging my conscience, at least not then and there. But, you know, later looking on, back, just thinking about it, it's like, you know, you're just kind of, you're missing it. You're missing the benefit that you're actually getting from abstaining on a Friday.
Right.
You know, what's the why do we refrain from meat on Friday? Very simple. It is in remembrance of our Lord's passion and death on the cross. What a very small thing we do. Yeah. What a very small penance.
And it is actually very easy. I think you mentioned this on the radio program recently, and I know it's talked about a lot. It's actually very easy to abstain from meat and not even stand out to people because you have your vegetarians now, or the pescatarians, people that only eat fish, and they'll just assume that you're one of those, or unless you announce it. And I do think, I'm not saying you should announce it, but depending on your group of people.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there are people who might ask questions. And
why, you know, if they know that normally you choose meat, but you're eating fish, I mean, if they ask, I think that's the time to say, well, I'm Catholic and our practice is. And it's not, you know, shoving anything down anyone's throat. That's what it is.
That's the way it is. Well, I've had, you know, those come to me and say, oh, I could never do that. I explain it. I could never do that. It's really not that difficult. Yeah, I know. Sometimes you get the temptation. You're walking or you're driving through the neighborhood in the summertime, and someone decides to grill out steaks that apparently they marinated perfectly, and you get that smell, and you're like, "Man, I want a steak right now." Or same, I've had people say to me, "Oh, I hate hot dogs. I don't want to eat them." But when it's a Friday, I smell it and I just want a hot dog. I'm just like, is that a temptation from the devil? I was like, well, it might not be from the devil directly, but it most certainly is a temptation.
Mm-hmm.
And one could say, what's the big deal? It's just a little thing. And this applies even to our Lenten fasting, abstaining, not maintaining it. It's just a little thing. What's the big deal?
Yeah, but as soon as you start like dismissing, it's not a big thing, what's the big deal? Let's look at what the first sin committed on earth was. They ate the apple off the tree. I mean, that's pretty small thing when you think about it.
Small apples.
Right.
Not potatoes, but you know.
But yet they still gave into that, and they still and look what that caused.
What was the essence of it? What's the essence of all sin? It was pride. Mm-hmm. I don't want to do what I'm told. I want to do what I want to do. Mm-hmm. I like the way that this sounds. I'm going to do it. That's what it all comes down to. In the season of Lent, especially, we're reminded to deny our own will, to give ourselves for Christ in the same way that he gave himself up for love of us to his heavenly Father. We should look to do the same sacrifice, even in this little, minuscule, small sort of way. Can't we do that? And it's all for your benefit. It's all for my benefit. This is to help us so we can get to that heavenly Jerusalem we're reminded of on Lautari Sunday.
And we really should also just try to remember that any penance that we do, anything that we try to do for the love of God, should also stretch us a little bit. It should be a bit of a sacrifice. And one of the things that came to my mind, again, as I talked about earlier, if you decided for Lent that you wanted to do something and you haven't really fully committed to it, hadn't seen it through, start now. You could still start now and see, have a good Lent. But also maybe this also is a time to say, well, this is working. I've been good with this, but is there something more I could do? You know, there's nothing to say that you have to decide on Ash Wednesday and that's set in stone. And you have to say only that and stay with it. You can always add on more. Or maybe you found that what you chose to do really was not, let's say, beneficial to you. Like maybe it's harming your health or, you know, something
or,
like that.
Or maybe it could be something so simple as you just come to the realization, you know, I do this kind of anyway, you know, I you know, this, I kind of naturally do this. So it's like a person says, I give up television and don't really watch television, or a person who says, I'm not going to go out with friends during Lent, and you never, you're kind of a recluse. So there are certain things you may, and I gave you two extreme examples, but it's look through your own conscience and say, if this isn't really helping you, then go to something else. But you can always have trust in the staples of, you know, bodily mortification, almsgiving, fasting. Fasting is so very beneficial.
And one of the things I was more specifically thinking about is how for most of us, you know, we have the option of going to our chapels and churches for Station of the Cross. And I realize for some people to go every week is a hardship, but I really think at least once you should try to attend in person to the Station of the Cross. I mean, we could all come up with reasons like, well, it's far, gas prices are going up for everybody. It's late. You know, when I get back, my kids, it's past their bedtime. It's just, this is not a criticism to anyone, but it's just looking at the point of view where we do need to stretch ourselves and even kind of make it, I don't want to say, I feel like it should pain you a little bit. Like it should cost you something. It really should cost you something, because how, if it was a worldly thing, we would do whatever we could.
Usually,
I mean, for most cases, I mean, if something came up on a Friday night at 8 o'clock, like let's say, I don't know if it's a big thing anymore, but like when a movie premiere was coming out and it was like you were waiting years for it, like what was it? Lord of the Rings was a big deal, and people would plan when the midnight showing came up, like it was a big deal for people, and they'd stay up.
May I add, I didn't plan for the midnight showing for Return of the King. It happened. My friend Sean had two free tickets, and it so happened I didn't have to go to work on Thursday night because that was my night off.
But if let's be honest, if you had to go to work early that next morning, you probably still would have gone to that midnight showing. Probably.
Yes, I probably would have.
And but how quickly can we dismiss doing something spiritual because the next day we have to get up early, or, you know, it's going to throw the kids' system off? I mean, how many of you keep your kids up late on Christmas Eve? And you can't tell me that your kids sleep until their normal time on Christmas Day. They know that gifts are coming. So things are already off kilter for family events. So I'm just pushing it to say, just take a step back and just really ask yourself, are we really not able to do this? Can we at least do it once? Go. Mm-hmm. And of course you can say them at home, you know, and if you follow the book, there are indulgences gained to do it at home. What are we supposed to really take home here at the season of Lent is really focus on what our Lord did for us. And in this grand scheme of things, these little things are nothing, but they do mean a lot to him. So we can't always take that. It's not an easy path. If you try to find an easy path, it doesn't exist. It's going to fight you. So why not just embrace your cross and make the sacrifice? You'll be a lot happier. So I think that's
true.
I've got to say.
I was just having the third order meeting today, and talking about that, the fact, you know, when you're doing something that's difficult, something that may be unpleasant, if you go in with a bad attitude, it's just going to make it worse. But even if you force yourself, with God's grace, of course, to have a good attitude, it's amazing how even that difficult thing might still have been difficult, but just not as bad because you kept the right, you had that right focus.
I mean, how many people, you know, dread their daily workout and like, I'm not really feeling this. I don't want to do this. I could think of a lot of other reasons to do it. And how many people, they still persevere and do that workout and feel better because of it.
Same with
having a nice, good meal, a nourishing meal. It's like, well, I don't really want to take the time to cook. It'd be a lot easier for me to just call and get takeout. But you persevere and you prepare that meal, you feel better about it.
You feel like you accomplished something too.
Right, right. And why?
The next thing about that is just killing your own food.
It's just, you know, our spirituality, you know, can't be spoon-fed to us. We have to go and put the work to it.
You have to seize it, and you have to take it.
Yes.
You know, it's yours for the taking. And, you know, it just reminds me of what, I can't remember which saint said this, but I'm
maybe I know
pretty certain Saint Francis is the one, but we have of Assisi. Okay. I'm sorry,
well, there's Saint Francis. Saint Francis.
Well, I should start out with our Holy Father, Saint Francis, that we need to. Oh, it was Saint Anthony of Padua. We have to run towards. We have to run towards our penances. Have to run towards our prayers, and we have to run towards practicing our faith with as much vigor as we do with our enjoyments.
Our worldly pursuits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with our worldly pursuits, with at least as much vigor. And hopefully, by cooperating with the grace of God, we do it with more vigor. And what happens then? Then the things of the world start to just mean less and less and less. And of course, not those things that are your duties that you have to do, but all those enjoyments. And you find yourself wanting to deny that food that you like. You want to deny yourself of certain people's company and retiring more with God. It reminds me of Saint Margaret of Cortona, when she would get caught too much of worldly conversation, and our Lord would come to her and say, don't do that, my daughter. Don't do that, because it takes you away from me. It takes you away from the progress you just made to denying yourself and coming closer to me. Because in union with God, unification in this life is merely a shadow to the unification that we are striving for God in heaven. The season of Lent and this time of Atari Sunday reminds us of that. And if that is not cause to rejoice, I don't know what is. Sister,
I think that was.
Are we good?
Well, I mean, we're not.
Are we well?
Well, I was going to say, well, we're not in heaven yet, so we're not.
Only
quite
God.
Good.
Only God is good. But so. I think that's good for the program.
Episode.
For the episode. You see, that's going to be my cross.
I'll get right you there. Like a shock collar, or. But I can't work it from a, you know.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. I'll shock myself. But anyway, that ends the episode. If you have any questions or comments, any thoughts, you can put comments on our YouTube channel, or you can email us at aimhigher.podcast.com. aimhigher.podcast.com.
We'd love to hear from you. @gmail.com.
At gmail.com. At gmail.com. At gmail.com.
Yes. We like the comments. We
do. We do. It does actually inspire. Help. It's already inspired a few episodes.
Yes.
So please, it does help us. We want to address things that are important to you and be able to discuss them, and then even have a bit of dialogue with everybody in your comments. It's very beneficial for us, and to know that it's helping people in that daily practice of their faith to grow in love. So thank you all, and Deo gracias.
Deo gratias.